How are you all? I see what I did for you. I found a green shirt and a green tie just for today. See? Dug it out of the closet. But it's hot in here, and I'm very, very warm. So, who's gonna win? Come on. I tell you, it's gonna be the writers today. What do you call a group of 46 guys sitting around watching the Grey Cup? BC Lions, you got it. That's exactly right. You know, I came out this morning and it was kind of cold. Does this look okay, or is it not looking fine? No. What's that? No. Not close. It was kind of chilly this morning, though, and I realized something that we're a little different in Prince Albert than a lot of the country. For example, there's a national temperature conversion guide, and I thought I'd just let you guys in on something here, because maybe many of you haven't heard or seen this, but at 10 degrees, Vancouverites tried to turn on the heat. People in Saskatchewan plant gardens. 5 degrees, Victorians shiver uncontrollably, Regina people sunbathe. 3 degrees, Italian cars won't start, Saskatoon people drive with the windows down. 0 degrees, distilled water freezes, Regina water gets thicker. I know that from experience. -5, Torontonians wear coats, gloves, and wool hats, people in Saskatchewan throw on a t-shirt. -10, Quebecers begin to evacuate the province, people in Saskatchewan go swimming. -20, Toronto landlords finally turn up the heat, people in Saskatchewan have the last cookout before it gets too cold. -25, people in Vancouver cease to exist, people in Regina lick flagpoles. -30, Calgarians fly away to Mexico, Saskatoon people throw on a light jacket. -40, Hamilton disintegrates, Regina people rent some videos. -60, Mount St. Helen freezes, Prince Albert Girl Scouts begin selling cookies door to door. -80, polar bears begin to evacuate the Arctic, Prince Albert Boy Scouts postpone winter survival classes until it gets cold enough. -100, Santa Claus abandons the North Pole, Regina people pull down their ear flaps. -114, gas freezes, Saskatoon people get frustrated when they can't fill their cars. -183 degrees Celsius, microbial life survives on dairy products. Saskatchewan cows complain of farmers with cold hands. -273 degrees Celsius, all atomic motion stops. Saskatchewan people start saying, cold enough for you? -300 degrees Celsius, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders win the Grey Cup. Today is going to be cold. So that's going to happen. Well, we talk a lot about rider pride, and today we're going to finish up our series of peace, and we're going to talk about pride, and I don't mean rider pride. Finish up by looking at our pride, but next Sunday is going to be a little unique. You already heard. We're having our baptismal service at 11 a.m., our celebration, and in the early service, there'll be a start to our Christmas series. And so it may be the day that you guys don't have to worry about this, but you may want to make sure that your alarm is set so you can avoid the throngs that are going to be here early to hear that message. Well, we began this series by looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Is it okay if I preach on this? Are you okay with that, or is this going to take away from everything that you're learning today? All right, good. 1 Peter 3, verse 10 says, "For whoever would love life and see good days." Now we all want to enjoy life. We all want to see good days. Don't what? Is there something behind me there? Oh, it's the pregame. Man, as if you're gonna even listen to me while that's going on. Is that last week? All right. For whoever would love life and see good days, we all want to enjoy life. We all want good days. Must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. Uh-oh. Now there's something. He must turn from evil and do good. Oh, no. He must seek peace. Another translation adds the word harmony. Don't you love that word? Harmony. Musicians love the word harmony. And pursue it. That's where we began, 1 Peter 3:10. Well, today I'm going to speak about how to maintain your peace. It's a very simple passage, but yet it's one that we often just slide over because of what it says. And so I invite you to turn to James chapter 1, verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19, as we look at how to maintain peace. How do you maintain peace? Well, first of all, you got to take note and listen. If you look at verse 19, it says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen." To take note is to make sure you remember. Remember to listen. Now, I think we can become so absorbed in a situation that we don't take note and we don't listen. It's kind of like, you know, if any of you ever watched the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving that was just out, and, you know, yeah, you've watched Charlie Brown. And but it's kind of like the teacher in Charlie Brown. You remember her? This is how she always taught. Wah, 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 wah. You all know. You all heard that. Wah, 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 wah. And it kind of broken up like that. And the reason being Charles Schultz did that is because most people don't listen to the teacher. Sorry, Ian. But most people don't listen when there's teaching going on. Wah, 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 wah. You never get to hear or say anything on Charlie Brown. That's because most of us don't listen. The Holy Spirit's our teacher. Are you taking note? Are you listening to him? See, if you want to have peace, then you want to have peace in your relationships. And that's where we came to last Sunday. We arrived there. In order to do that, you're going to have to be willing to make some adjustments in how you handle yourself in life. If you want peace bad, then you've got to want it bad enough to make some adjustments in who you are. Eleanor Roosevelt said, "It isn't enough to talk about peace, one must believe in it, and it isn't enough to believe in it, one must work at it." Listen quickly. Listen immediately. Listen right away. Quit pushing aside what the Holy Spirit's trying to tell you. Quit formulating your game plan in your mind when someone is talking to you. Listen. Listen. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Listen already." Okay, now that you're listening. Now that you're listening. You have a choice right within you today. "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen." I don't think this is just meaning hear what a person says to us, but it means hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying inside of you. I mean, how many times does the Spirit go on inside of you, give that little prompting? Holy Spirit doesn't yell at us. The Holy Spirit gives the prompting. How many times the Holy Spirit prompted me, "Shh, Ev, don't say anything. Don't go there." Any of you get that prompting? I've got that prompting many times. You know, "Shh, let it go. Don't say anything. Joe might be right. Shh. This isn't a good time to go down that road, Dad. See? This isn't a good time to do that." And yet, I just forge on ahead. I just keep going. Full speed. Oh, Joan, here you have it. James 3:18 says, "And the harvest of righteousness, conforming to God's will and thought indeed, is the fruit of the seed sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves and in others." That peace means harmony between individuals. Harmony. We need to have peace. Peace in our relationships with people. It takes a lot of forgiveness to stay in peace. You've got to be willing to let go of many offenses. It takes a lot of humility to do this. Not a little bit, but a lot. I guess, what's more important to you? To feed your pride? To say, "Well, I'm right. I got my way." Or to have peace? You know, obviously, we'd like to have both. But I hope you've concluded through the series, you can't have both. I think we often push our way through instead of listening. And then we're automatically giving up peace in a lot of our situations. I'm not saying you just lay down and never bring truth in a situation. I mean, that's not what I'm talking about. But there are a lot of piddly little things in life that we just make into big full-blown issues, that if we just start letting go of those. I mean, I realize that there are some big issues going on for some of you that you just feel like you can just say, well, okay, I'm just going to let it go. But listen, be ready not to go to war, not to voice your rights, but be ready to listen, take note, and listen. Get on your knees instead of getting ready to pounce. Take note and listen. Well, how do you maintain your peace? You take note and listen, but you also talk slowly. If you see here in James 1:19, it says, because now my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Now, this doesn't mean talk slowly. It means slow to speak. Think it over before you make little comments that don't even need to be made. And this is something I think we need to pin in our hands, you know, in order to remember. It's like it's so hard for us not to be opinionated, isn't it? I mean, do you live with anybody or work with anybody that has a different opinion than you do sometimes? One couple were asked if they ever had different opinions. My office. And he said, yeah, we have different opinions all the time. And she turned to him and said, it's not all the time. Boy. You know what the point of that is? She didn't need to say that. See, those kind of statements generally don't do anything except irritate the other person. There are countless times in our relationships with people where we just have to get our 2 cents worth in, and that's about all it's worth is 2 little pennies. We all have weaknesses. I have weaknesses. You have weaknesses. But I've learned it's more important to have peace than to push my opinion. Than to push it. I mean, you remember the young couple, I'm sure, who drove several miles down a country road, weren't saying a word to each other, had a big full-blown fight. An earlier discussion had just put them in this situation. They led to an argument. Neither of them wanted to concede their position. And they passed a barnyard of mules and pigs. And the husband sarcastically asked, he said, are they relative of yours? Yes, replied his wife. I married into the family. Now, I'm not saying don't ever give your opinion, because I give my opinion, believe me. But I've learned, and I'm learning, when my opinion is not being accepted. And I'm still learning that it's better to back down, to make adjustments, than it is to keep pushing and pushing and cause a real problem. Benjamin Franklin said, he that would live in peace and at ease must not speak all he knows or all he sees. True. Bible says, a soft answer turns away wrath. That's so important to peace. How we use our lips. When someone states their opinion, and you turn to them, and you can say to them, like, and I do this so often. I, you know, something will happen in my home, and I'll turn around and say, what? What? Did you know that sounds a whole lot different than this? What? See? Do you see that? What? What? If you don't agree with them, you know, how can you possibly believe that? That sounds ridiculous. Are you sure that's the way you want to go? Tony, your voice is very critical. Really? You sure you want to go down that road? See? Huh? Scripture's clear. Peace is achieved by the way we talk. That's what 1 Peter says. Watch your tongue. It makes a major difference whether something's accepted and embraced or something's rejected. The voice, the way it said, say, I'm willing to change. Oh, I'm willing to change, Lord. I'm willing to change. I'm willing to change. Everybody say, I'm willing to change. Say it now like you believe it, all right? I'm willing to change. If you want to change, you need to use discipline to line your life up with the Word of God. And we don't like it sometimes. We even try to excuse it sometimes. Wow, that's the way I am. That's how God created me. Listen, the Word of God says that I can change. I can choose what I do. Every day I can choose what I do. And I believe the Word of God. Bible says here, take note, listen, and speak slowly. That means I can do it. That means I'm going to have to use discipline to not say some things I might want to say and not holler just because I want to holler, like now, or sound sarcastic because I want to sound sarcastic. But I need to be willing to change. Cancer's not going from relationship to relationship till you find someone that does it your way all the time. I mean, I realize that there are times when you can't make a relationship work, but don't think that you'll find someone who will do it your way all the time. See, that doesn't wash. You gotta watch how we speak. See? You may have to change today if you want to have peace. And I don't mean you may have to slightly change or change the things you want to change. You may have to change things that the way you've been all your life in order to have peace. Well, how do you maintain peace? You got to take note and listen. You got to talk slowly. And you got to temper your anger. Now, look at this verse again. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And it goes on. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Whoa. All right. Become means turn out to be. Become angry means turn into. Be converted into means become. Grow to be. Have you ever heard that phrase? What do you want to become? Have you ever wanted to turn into an angry person? We say we're converted into Christ. We're a convert. The same can be said of anger. We're converted to anger. When things happen, you can just feel yourself making a decision to get mad or not. You know that? And that comes up countless times in a week. And James says, be slow to become angry. What that says is, you better think it over before you let yourself go and get good and mad. You better think it through. You better temper your anger. Because once you get into one of those emotional fits, it's not all that easy to make a decision to get out. Because pride gets involved. Pride gets in the way. And you need to make that decision down here in the early days while you still can. The Bible says, resist the devil at his onset. You need to make that decision right now, right here. Hey, I'm going to make this choice. I'm going to be slow to become angry. And I will tell you that once you make that decision, once you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do that, Satan will give you an opportunity to practice it today. He will. Because that's how he works. Slow to become angry, for man's anger does not promote the righteousness that God desires. You see, we're righteous through the blood of Christ, but there's two sides to righteousness, and we need to know this. First, I need to know who I am in Christ, but then I need to make that decision to do the right thing. If I don't have the outworking of my righteousness, then who I am in Christ is never going to minister to anybody else. No one else is going to know. The Bible gives instruction that after we know who we are in Christ, then we're to be the light in a very dark, tumultuous world and get out there. Don't put your light under a bushel. Get out there. Christ said, get out there. Get out there. He didn't say preach on the street corners. He said, get out there. And I believe that there's so much turmoil in our world, so much darkness, that it needs light. You just simply walk in peace. That's the light. Just really being peaceful. Christ, he prayed for unity. He prayed for harmony. He paid for unity. And how many people today are just sitting right now, oh, I wonder how I can have peace. I really want to have peace. They search everywhere for peace. Many of them are sitting in doctor's offices right now, this very moment. I just can't get any peace in my life. I want to sleep, I can't sleep. I need this, I need that. Trying to find peace. Jesus said his peace doesn't even come close to the world. We need to be agents. We need to be ambassadors of peace. Do not ask the Lord to guide your footsteps unless you're willing to move your feet. We say, Lord, guide me. Lord, direct me. Lord, put me in that place. Whoa. You going to move to get there? You see, it's so important that we show Jesus Christ to the world. And I don't mean this as a condemnation. I mean, if you had a stinky day yesterday and acted ugly, that's under the blood of Christ. You can go on. But that doesn't mean we don't press on toward those places of victory where we don't behave like that. We need to be people that have control. Fruit of this Holy Spirit is self-control. We need to act like we have it, not be controlled by all these emotions. It's like this couple celebrating their golden wedding anniversary on the beaches of Montego Bay, Jamaica. Boy, that sounds nice right today, doesn't it? Their domestic tranquility had long been the talk of the community. I mean, people would say, now there goes a peaceful and loving couple. They were a testimony. The local newspaper reporter was inquiring, he wanted to know, I mean, because everybody's talking about it, the secret that this couple had, their happy marriage. And the husband replied, I mean, it was their golden wedding. He said, you know, the newspaper said, hey, what's your secret? I mean, it's your golden wedding anniversary. Everyone's talking about how peaceful, loving you are. And the husband said, it dates back to our honeymoon in America, explained the man. We visited the Grand Canyon in Arizona. We took a trip down to the bottom of the canyon, man, Bajos. We hadn't gone too far when my wife's horse stumbled. She almost fell over. My wife, man, she looked down at the horse. She quietly said, that's once. We proceeded a little further. Her horse stumbled again. My wife quietly said, man, that's twice. We hadn't gone a half a mile when the horse stumbled for the third time. And my wife, man, she quickly removed a revolver from her purse and she shot that horse dead, man. So I shouted at her, I said, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you, woman? Why did you shoot the poor animal like that? Are you crazy? And she looked at me, man, and she quietly said, that's once. From that moment on, we've been happily married. See? That's how it, you know, Joan and I mean, you can feel anger start to rise in you. You know what that needs to be for you. When you feel that anger start to rise, you need to say, that's a red flag. That's a horn blown. That's a clear signal that you're about to get into trouble. And when you feel that anger rising, let it be to you just like the voice of the Lord saying inside of you, danger. That's danger. If you keep going in this direction, Deb, that's danger. There's danger up ahead. Now, this isn't only for you for this morning. This is for me, too. I spent most, you know, up until just a short time ago, I spent most of my life just mad and upset. Horrible way to live. And I needed peace, and I had to seek it. I had such a war within me all the time, and it's such freedom, friend. I mean, we're talking about freedom here. I want you all free. You know what freedom is? To be able to just let it go. I had an opportunity to practice this just last week. I was driving on the highway, and as I'm driving, you know, it was late at night, and I was coming home from Saskatoon, and I'm driving up behind this vehicle, and it was kind of snowing and blustering, and I'm stuck behind him. It was one of you, wasn't it? Anyway, and I'm I want to get home already. How can I pass? You know, like it's blustery. You know, this terror. And all of a sudden I saw this car go, you know, flying by us. Both of us. I mean, you know, zipped by. I thought, man, that should be me. I should do that. So I'm peeking out, you know, cars are coming. Do I do this? Do I not do this? So I'm just kind of coasting along, 80 kilometers an hour. This is going to be an extra hour of time. I just know it is. If I could pass, if I could only pass. And then all of a sudden, the car that passed us was in the ditch. Clear in. And I'm thinking, whoa. And so we, you know, this truck ahead of me pulled off to help the guy. And I pull off. We're all under control. So I kept going. And I, you know what I did? I knew, I prayed for safety before I left Saskatoon. The Lord kept me safe. Did I have peace with it? No, I didn't. I had to let it go. I had to let it go. And most of the time, when we let it go, we can't even remember what it is that we were upset about in the first place. That's how goofy these things are. Things that you could have started a war over. Next day, you can't even remember what it was. If you just let it go. Just let it go. Let it go. There's one thing. There's one thing. One thing that won't let us let it go. Do you know what that one thing is? Pride. My pride's at stake. My pride. And I'll tell you, that's what's going to lead you into danger. See, when anger rises up, you can either let it go or you can press on and you can get into sin. We all have the emotion of anger. And that's put in you to let you know when you're being mistreated. To feel anger is not a sin. To court it, to fool around with it, to stay angry leads you to all kinds of major problems. I don't have to have one bit of condemnation because I felt irritated at somebody if they did something that wasn't correct in my life. My job is to choose, use my free will, my free sovereign will, to choose to line up myself with the word of the living God and not choose the path that's going to lead me into a pit of destruction. I need to choose. You see, think about what happens when peace is not your choice. You get into the discussion, and it gets heavier, and then you spend about a day and a half replaying the scene in your head, determining your next move. You don't talk to your spouse. You don't even want to be in the same room. You realize you can only stay in the bathroom so long, and then you come out. I mean, we're supposed to act like we've got some sense, some brain. And here I am at night, and I'm laying in bed like a stiff board. Kind of put the covers in here. She better not touch me. And all the while, she's thinking, he better not come over and touch me. He better not cross my side of the bed. Better not. And that's the point where you don't even want a loose hand to come by and brush your hair or touch your pillow. Get the pillow. Get away from me. The spirit on his side is saying, why don't you just say you're sorry and get this over with? But you see, the spirit of pride says, don't you dare say that. I mean, what keeps you from being the spirit of God? Pride. Nothing but pride. And don't every one of you get the same messages that I do? What you ought to do? Just say, I'm sorry. Then she gets up and she's kind of adjusting the covers, you know, because she's a little cold and I'm freezing because I don't have any covers myself. And she comes over and she gently covers me up. Isn't that nice? But I make the point and I flip them back and say, I don't care. You can't adjust my covers. That's because my peace is stolen. And pride won't let allow her to do anything for me. To even apologize by putting covers over me. See? You just let it go. Boy, I'd sleep so much better. Wouldn't we? See, you need to spend time with God, real personal time, searching where you need to be at peace. And you know what? If you say, God, reveal where I need to be at peace, be prepared. If you say to him, God, I want you, Lord, to see where I create pride, the areas I'm prideful in, you'll be shocked to find out, if you truly listen, you'll be shocked to find out where you're prideful. If you truly listen. Because often, we almost excuse that in our relationship with God. Pride gets in the way of so many of our relationships. Well, I'm right. I'm going to push to be right. I'm going to show them I'm right. I'm going to be competitive. I'm going to show them I'm better than they are. I'm going to show them that I know more than they do. They can't get ahead of me. I want to be number one for a change. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize. I'm just going to stay mad until you say you're sorry to me. Don't you dare give in, pride. I can't give in. How can you have any peace in a relationship if pride is standing between them? See, the sin that Satan fell into was pride. Satan, or Lucifer, as he was known at the time, was the angel of worship. And he decided he was going to exalt himself above the throne of God. I will lift myself. I will. Exalting. You see? You want to be lifted above, and that really is what the word pride means. To exalt above or to be lifted above others. If you want peace, you're going to have to want it really, really bad. Not a little bit, but a lot. But I have also known that I cannot get by without peace. We need to seek it. That means we cannot get by without it because it's vital to our life. It is a vital necessity. And that also means that no matter what you are, no matter how you're not going to enjoy your life until you have peace. I'm telling you, you have to want it bad because there's a lot out there that is going to steal it. We're either going to go the way of the flesh or we're going to go the way of the Spirit. It's your choice. It's going to take choice. There's no telling how many times in a week you're going to have to choose when you feel yourself getting angry and starting to get upset. You're going to have to choose to let it go and maintain your peace. You're going to have to take note and listen. You're going to have to talk slowly. You're going to have to temper your anger. May we maintain peace. May we maintain it. Let's pray. Well, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and maybe saying this morning, well, I think I'm really at peace. Maybe you're almost afraid to say to God, Lord, what areas have I been prideful in? Show me, reveal that to me. Maybe this morning you're just really wrestling with maintaining peace. But you can. I hope you understand that you can choose peace. It's a fruit of the Spirit. You can choose it. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, you've heard this morning, take note and listen. Talk slowly. Temper your anger. Maybe you want to say to the Lord today, I want to do that in my life this morning, Lord. I claim that for my life. I'll take note and listen to you. Listen to others. I will talk slowly, Lord. I'll think about it before I speak. Lord, I'll temper my anger. I'll temper it. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if you're saying, Lord, I claim that today in my life, just lift your hand. Lord, bless you. 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 Just lift your hand. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Just lift it before the Lord. Just lift it to him. Lord, bless you. Father, this morning, as we have come together and heard from your word, Lord, sometimes it's unsettling for us to hear this. But your word is very clear, and Lord, it's for us. It's for us to enjoy our life. And Lord, I know from my own life, practically speaking, it's so difficult sometimes to not allow pride to just get a hold of me. So, Father, I pray, even for my own self, that you just diminish the pride in our life so that we would show more of who you are. May pride not get in the way of our relationships, Lord, but may you continue to be the fruit in our relationships. We pray, Lord, that we would glorify you in what we say and what we do. In Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said, Amen.